I got a bad feeling about this.
No reward is worth this.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
What a piece of junk!
Will somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way?
And we're here with another Star Wars themed episode of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdaw, and you've got Tina Bradley, who was with me last time around, and Stephen McNeil, who was with us the time before that, as this is our third in a trilogy of Star Wars podcasts. We'll see if we do another trilogy or not. I guess we'll just have to wait and see how this one goes and if people kill us in the reviews. But anyway, we are here tonight to talk about a little trailer thing that dropped this week. The main trailer to Episode 8, The Last Jedi. We'll start out, Tina, with... Let's go with you and just your initial impressions when you watched it for the first time.
Well, I was a lot more excited about this trailer than the one for The Force Awakens, which was... I mean, I was excited because, you know, the movie was coming out, but the trailer itself was kind of not that interesting. I thought this one had a lot more interesting little tidbits in it than that previous trailer did. Probably the big thing, I guess, is they're kind of trying to hint around about Rey possibly going to the dark side or whatever, which I don't think is going to happen, but that seems to be what they're trying to fake us out with, in my opinion. But it looks, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there, and I'm really excited to see the movie this time, much more so than the last one.
Steven, same question to you. When you watched it Monday night, what was your initial reaction?
Let's say pure excitement, joy, and shock. kind of all in one, and in kind of a what have we here kind of thing. Just a very entertaining, but still kind of confusing trailer.
The big worry, of course, after watching The Force Awakens and seeing how it hit a lot of the same notes that A New Hope would hit, was this idea that they're just going to wind up remaking Empire Strikes Back for this episode. And this has an intensity, at least from this trailer, and, you know, trailers are not necessarily a accurate barometer of a movie, but we'll go with it for right now. It has an intensity to it that kind of has that feel for Empire, but I think that's about all you can say, because I don't think there was anything except for maybe, you know, Rey being trained by Luke in this that made you think this was a rehash of Empire, did it?
There's some similar elements with the kind of implication that it may go a little bit darker like Empire did, but overall, no, I think it feels to me like they're trying to get away a little bit from just remaking that original trilogy.
And this, Stephen, I mean, you look at this right now and, you know, again, everybody puts Empire up there as maybe the top of the Star Wars heap. This kind of feels like right now, I mean, just the look of it, the like I say, the intensity, the, you know, the moments that we have seen, this kind of feels like it's got a chance to jump up there as well, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, if everything kind of plays out the way we think it is, I mean, Rian Johnson kind of warned us back when filming was starting that this was going to have a very dark undertone to it, you know, and I hate to bring in the example of much akin to the way Empire Strikes Back was, and I'm kind of breaking down the trailer right now for my website, and you know, there's some possibilities of some similarities there, but my hope is that they don't go with easy similarities. But I do think there's a huge possibility that this has a real good chance to become one of the, if not the best, one of the top two.
It really is going to be interesting to see how this comes out, and I think it felt to me that this trailer kind of turned a lot of things that we thought we knew about this movie kind of on its head. Obviously, we didn't have much to go on. You had that little teaser trailer from Star Wars Celebration, which gave you just little bits here and there. But I think we had, some of us at least had this idea in our head of kind of what we thought the plot line might look like. And it does seem to have been a lot different, at least in my mind, than expected. I mean, does that seem to track with what you're thinking, Tina?
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Personally, I'm not sure exactly what my expectations was of it before, but it's definitely seemed... There's more, a lot more going on in it than I was expecting there to be, because the first one was kind of simplistic almost in what they try to do, and it seems like they're tackling a whole lot in this movie, and I have a feeling it's going to be similar to Empire in that we're probably going to end this one without a whole lot of answers. But I would definitely... It definitely wasn't exactly what I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, and as you and I kind of talked about, I think a little bit on our last one, it'd be interesting to see J.J. Abrams have to, answer some questions instead of throw out a whole lot of questions and then let somebody else clean up the mess. Rian Johnson's going to have some stuff that he's going to have to fix in, or not fix, but answer in 9, and that should be kind of interesting. Let's kind of go through, I don't want to go frame by frame like the Steven's doing that for his site. There's some others out there. I'm going to looking right now at the IO9 post. I didn't want to go beat by beat or anything of that nature, but just kind of go through it in order and kind of hit some of the high points. And early on, we see the new ATM-6 and other forces on what seems to be the world of Crait. And we ought to paraphrase this. Nothing that we should be saying tonight is spoilerish in the regard that it's come out from Lucasfilm. I at least, and y'all can, maybe y'all are different, am not hunting up stuff, rumors and things of that nature. I'm just kind of trying to stick to whatever they put out, but if Lucasfilm puts it out, then I feel like it's fair game, kind of like this trailer. I don't know. Is that kind of a... Steven, are you the same way, or are you digging into spoilers?
I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily digging into spoilers. I kind of try to pull back the layers a bit. I am more of a technical, analytical person. And so I am kind of trying to peel back the layers a little bit on things. I've been listening to a ton of, other podcasts and watching other YouTube videos and stuff like that to kind of get a grip for what everything is. So I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily trying to take down any spoilers per se, but I am trying to kind of get a handle on kind of what the trailer was and what my kind of thought process was on it.
Okay. Tina, you too, or you're just kind of sticking with what they give you?
I have not been looking for spoilers at all. I pretty much just watched the official trailer, and the only other thing I've really looked at was something that claimed to be an extended version of that, which I don't know where that came from, but I don't want the spoilers, so no, I haven't been looking around for any.
Okay, well, like I said, yeah, I do not plan on putting any spoilers out there. Some of the maybe the names or the worlds, usually anything that we say, I feel like, has been released from Lucasfilm, because like we said, none of us are hunting up these corners of the internet that have this idea of what could or couldn't happen. But we start out on the world of Crait. It's that red planet, not red planet, but it's the salty planet that apparently when you walk on it, it turns everything red. And red seems to be a huge color in this trailer. Seems like a lot of that floating around. I mean, Tina, I mean, does that mean anything? Is that just a style choice? What could it mean?
I think it's mostly just a style choice. I actually hadn't really even thought about it that much, but thinking back on it, you're right that there is a lot of kind of red imagery on it, but I don't think it's really any kind of signal or symbolism or anything. I think it's just something they thought looked cool.
it definitely does. I mean, you saw it even in that teaser trailer with the ships flying across the, you know, and dragging across and making this red plumes coming out of it.
To some extent, it could harken back to the whole battle between Obi-Wan and Anakin on Geonosis, where there's obviously a lot of red with all the volcanic, but mostly I think it just looks cool.
Yeah. Unless, Steven, you wanted to say that this red is a, you know, a symbol for the dark side. I mean, obviously the red lightsabers and things of that nature. We've talked about it being darker and stuff. Do you think that is a possibility?
I've heard theories on that the two trailers are kind of different, and that the first trailer was kind of your light side trailer, and then the second trailer is more of your darker side trailer. Mm-hmm. That's the only connotation that I get from the red. That's not something I necessarily notice right away. And I've been hearing about the amount of red in the trailer, but it's not something that I'm really kind of, oh man, they've got a lot of red in the trailer. That's got to mean something. Yeah, I think that the movie's going to have a dark connotation, and we're going to get a good peel back on more of the First Order than we did in The Force Awakens, but I don't think they're trying to do anything in the trailer with that.
Yeah, I'm not one that gets into the whole symbolism of colors and what things look like and all that. I'm a fairly shallow person. I know that oftentimes directors do things like that for a reason, and we may not know what the reason is or whatever. But it seems to be interesting. Not only is there a lot of red in this, but I don't know if y'all saw the character posters they put out a month or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, which were basically all the characters, and they were wearing red. All of them were. It seems to be something that's recurring a lot. And again, maybe that's just to tie it all together. So when you see red, you think of the movie. You know, I don't know, but maybe we'll see as we get along. A little farther into this, we see, Kylo Ren picking up his lightsaber while Snoke is having this, overtone about apparently talking to Kylo Ren. I feel like he is, but it also feels like this trailer may be cut in ways that make it a little, you know, things may not be the way we think they are. We see that a lot with trailers anyway. Snoke talking about the power that apparently Kylo has, and the raw power, and that he's something special. Tina, I mean, is there anything you get out of that? I mean, we hear a lot more from Snoke. I think we see and hear more from Snoke in this trailer than perhaps we did almost all of the last movie.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more of him in there, and that was one of the things I was kind of surprised about, because they've seemed to kind of keep him a mysterious character, so he was in the trailer an awful lot. But I actually have kind of come to think that he may actually be speaking to Rey, and that we're meant to think that he's talking to Kylo Ren in the trailer, but perhaps this is something he's speaking to her, because it does look like they have some kind of encounter mm-hmm. at some point in the movie, and we also hear Luke talking about her raw power or whatever, which was a big theme in the trailer for whatever reason. So I think it may turn out that he's actually speaking to her, and that there's going to be some kind of conflict set up between those two being rivals, which has been pretty typical with the Sith in the past, with them kind of trading one apprentice for another when somebody else comes along. So that's what I'm thinking right now. I might end up being totally wrong, but I think that may be an intentional fake out there.
Well, Stephen, what do you think? I mean, who is he talking to, and what were your thoughts about seeing Snoke in this thing?
First off, I'll say that I loved seeing Snoke and hearing Snoke kind of being the undertone for the trailer. That was very neat to me. Like the Luke thing and the Rey is great, but to me, like, the mysteriousness of Snoke is just extremely fascinating. So that I really enjoyed. As far as the who he's talking to, you know, I kind of think it's Kylo Ren, but I see where people are thinking that it's Rey. I think that there still is a chance that is Rey. And if that is the case, I really think that when you combine that with what we find out at the end, towards the end of the trailer, that there's maybe something about Rey that Snoke knows that we don't know yet. Which is really kind of interesting, because what he's saying is that when I found you, and you can't really, I mean, it would be kind of an odd play on words to say that he found Rey, mm-hmm. Given what we know. And so unless they're kind of hinting that he knows something, that he knows Rey beforehand, I really kind of think that might be overthinking it, and that he truly is talking about Kylo. Just that those first five words are really kind of what gives me that.
Yeah, that would make sense. And we get from Force Awakens, we got the impression that Han Solo knew who Rey was, and that Leia might know who Rey was. And maybe even Kylo might have an idea of who she was, but, you know, it didn't ever really appear that Snoke did, at least in his, you know, he talked about her being a scavenger. He was very surprised that, you know, Kylo couldn't get the information from her. He did say bring her to him, but that was after Kylo had said, you know, she was strong in the Force. So at least in my watching A Force Awakens, and I might have to go back and watch it now again with a different point of view, it did not feel like Snoke knew who she was at that time. That doesn't mean that doesn't change somewhere in this movie. And we don't know where, you know, these things happen in the movie. Are they happening at the close to the beginning? Are they happening at close to the end? We don't know. It is interesting, you know, again, like Tina was saying, as soon as that, those phrases from Snoke are done, we cut immediately to Rey turning on a lightsaber, as she is apparently starting some training, which does, I mean, if you're going to believe it, read it that way, then it does kind of lead to that speculation, doesn't it, Dana?
To some extent, although it was more the bit at the end where it looked like he was torturing her or something that made me think that at some point the two of them have some sort of confrontation. Obviously, the stuff being shown in the trailer is not in the order that's going to happen in the movie. They're jumping around to either try to create some sort of story or just because that's what people do in trailers. So, I expect that her training is at least going to begin with Luke. I don't think she's going to jump immediately to this. The only way that happens is if he just refuses to train her, I guess. But I think the training, bulk of her training, is probably going to happen with Luke, and then some sort of, you know, meet up with the Sith people happens later on, is my opinion.
And that's, yeah, I mean, that there's something to that, and we'll kind of get to that too. But it moves from there to what should be the first scene of the movie, what all we've seen, that, you know, we've always heard that Episode 8 is going to take up for right where Episode 7 left off, and so we've got the scene of Rey handing the lightsaber to Luke. That's an interesting, it's kind of interesting to see. I don't know that it has a whole lot of import. It's just kind of interesting to see. But Steven, I kind of had this idea. I could just see, I had a feeling he was going to reject her holding out that lightsaber to start the movie, that he didn't want to have any part of it. But it doesn't look like that's the case. He seems to take it fairly willingly.
Yeah. And it's just like, I think he's kind of got this confused look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. Like, this thing, I haven't had this thing in years. Where did this come from?
Yeah, I mean, this thing fell out of a, you know, a cloud-based city, how the heck is it not floating in space somewhere? Which, you know, I don't know if we get a whole lot of Maz in here, but it'd be really nice to know that story, don't you think?
We probably won't get it in the cinematic sense, but it is mentioned in the novelization of the Aftermath series, I believe, and or the one of the Marvel Star Wars comics.
Huh, I'll have to go back and remember. I don't remember that lightsaber being. I do remember part of the Aftermath series talking about perhaps Vader's lightsaber, the Red Blade, I believe.
I do know that they do talk about how Maz came into contact with the lightsaber in the comic series. I haven't specifically read it, but I do a lot. I watch a lot of videos on YouTube for a few Star Wars channels, and they kind of give you those stories without you having to go back and find and read all these comics.
Well, I'll have to go look, because I have, since they've returned to Marvel, I think I've digitally been subscribed to all of them, and I don't remember that, so I'll have to go back and look and see if I can find it. Anyway, we get a little bit of Rey's training, it looks like, or Rey at least on Octu or whatever, island is called. But then we get to the part where Tina, where you're talking about that, you know, Rey's doing some force stuff, and not only is she lifting those rocks like we saw in the teaser, but she's basically destroying the land behind her, and having no clue about it, it seems like. I gotta say, if you freak out Luke Skywalker, who should have seen a thing or two by now, that's gotta be a little concerning, don't you think?
Well, it's interesting to me, and it was kind of a point of contention, I think, in the first movie, just how kind of advanced she seems compared to how Luke was when Ben first took him on. I mean, she seems to have a lot more, I guess, natural ability or whatever. Some of it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because I don't know how you have natural ability with a lightsaber, but she definitely seems to have a lot more force ability, or at least ability to command it, than what he had, and it seems like they're kind of setting up both her and Kylo to perhaps be a lot more powerful than maybe even Anakin was. So I'm not sure where they're going with that, but it's kind of interesting that it's come to that point.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess, Stephen, it really, really builds on that, because it seems to indicate, again, seems to indicate, that Kylo is that other person of amazing strength that, you know, Luke didn't worry about it when he saw and tried to train him, and it all backfired on him, so he's not going to make that same mistake twice. I don't know. I guess we could argue whether Luke was making the right choice there by not training somebody with significant power instead of just letting them run around with that power unchecked. But I mean, what are your thoughts with that juxtaposition, where we see what looks like Luke climbing out of the ruins of his Jedi Academy?
I think that we've kind of got two possibilities here. We've got the obvious possibility that you know, that he's talking about Kylo Ren. He's referencing it to Rey's power, because we just saw her, you know, crack this big rock with the Force, and you know, he's looking amazed, and now he's scared, and that to me doesn't really seem Luke-ish in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, here's this guy who went in and, you know, wanted to take on Darth Vader without really ever having a true lightsaber battle, really not having much, you know, training in a sense. Like, he had some training with Yoda, but he was ready to go guns blazing, essentially, you know, after not really having that much training. And so it just kind of odd to me. That he kind of has this reluctancy, but I do know that, you know, they've kind of made it to where he has a lot of guilt from Kylo Ren, so that's a very strong play and possibility in this movie. But I also kind of think that there's another possibility here. I think it's a possibility that we're overlooking this scene here. And again, it's a little bit of a misdirection thing where we're kind of missing that maybe it's just him talking to Rey and kind of warning her. And maybe Rey is in the same kind of scenario that Luke was in back when we had the issue with him and Yoda. And so I'm thinking maybe that's the scenario there, that she's like wanting to go and go after Snoke and Kylo Ren, and she's thinking she's all ready and ready to go, and he's like, you know, I've only seen this kind of power, in referencing maybe to Snoke, maybe referencing to the Emperor, not knowing what kind of power he was up against at that point in time, and wasn't scared of that power, and now we have a scenario where he's trying to kind of cool her jets, and kind of in the way that Yoda did with him.
Always a possibility. I guess the only thing that I would say, maybe on the flip side of that, is he does talk about raw strength, so it doesn't feel like, you know, the power that everybody that we have seen beforehand has been more refined and trained. But that doesn't mean that, yeah, I mean, that it definitely could be something different as well. But yeah, you know, I think it's going to be fun to see what, if and how much we get here, I don't know, but some of what Luke did, what Luke has done, and the knowledge and the experience that he has, in not only in the Force, but what he's seen around the galaxy. Because as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, you talked about him being ready to take on Vader, but back then he didn't know any better. You know, he ran off, and not only did we have what he did, you know, facing Vader and then facing Vader again, but whatever he's done in the 30 years, he may have seen some strange things from one side of the galaxy to the other, and knows that he doesn't want to get in part of it. And, you know, he's also maybe not ready to get back into the galactic battle, if you will, because he's afraid of things going wrong. I don't know. I think this is going to be, I mean, this is obviously supposed to be Luke's movie. We've heard this a few times, that 7 was Han, 8 was Luke, and then 9 was supposed to be Leia, which is probably why we have a new director and writer for 9, because they have to figure that out story out again. So it's going to be interesting to see how much Luke we do get in this, and what his backstory is, and how he approaches things. Tina, we move on to the kind of interesting part. Kylo Ren is flying his TIE silencer, talking about killing the past. He's got his mother in his sights, it appears, but it also appears that he hesitates to pull the trigger. Is this a setup for, you know, trying to have, saying that there's still good in him?
I think that's definitely the setup. I think they're wanting to show that he is not just the, you know, the cold-hearted person that already killed his father and now he's going to blow his mother out of the sky too. But there's also the complication in that at some point they do have to deal with the death of Carrie Fisher, so it makes you wonder, is this how they're going to do it now, or is it going to happen off-screen? But I think they're definitely trying to show us, or at least hint at, that maybe he's not completely gone, and possibly there's going to be yet another redemption arc surrounding one of the Sith apprentices, probably. I don't think they're going to try to redeem Snoke or anything. But that's what I feel like the main point of that was, to show that he, or it could have been a complete fake out, because I'm not sure that what he was saying at the time was actually related to that scene, but I feel like they were trying to show that he thinks that he needs to do this, but that he doesn't really want to do it.
Which is, I mean, very similar to what we saw with, you know, with Han. He didn't necessarily want to do it. In fact, there's rumor, speculation, idea that Han actually turned the lightsaber on himself. I've heard that, somebody saying that, you know, he was helping Kylo in whatever way he could. You know, I don't know if I go that far, but Steven, it looks like there's still some Force connection between mother and daughter in this scene. I think, you know, we haven't talked a lot about, you know, Leia's abilities with the Force. And she didn't go on to be a Jedi. She moved on to being a, you know, politician in general. But will we see a little bit of Jedi Force stuff, for the technical term, with Leia in this one?
I think we do. I think we see that in that part where I think we already see it actually in The Force Awakens, that she already senses that Han has been killed, and she's already felt it in the Force. And then she's also talks to Han, she says, I sense that there's still good in him, much in the way, if you remember, back to Return of the Jedi, when Luke said the same to Darth Vader. And so he kind of, you know, said, you know, she said, I still sense that there's some good in him. I know that it's there. And I think that she has she's obviously Force sensitive. She's chosen to go the political side of things to kind of fight evil. And I think that, I don't know. I think we might have, we might see that she actually has some different abilities, maybe. Maybe she does have some kind of, not in a sense mind control, but maybe some kind of, you know, suggestive interaction with the Force or something, that maybe that's where, you know, this comes into play. Because honestly, I think that the whole him killing his mother in this point is kind of too spoilery for a trailer, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And I think that it's probably more likely that maybe there's something going on that maybe she has some sort of part of.
Yeah, and I have seen, I think that I read that 8 was done and her part was filmed and everything before the passing of Carrie Fisher, so it seems like whatever happens to Leia probably happens off screen, which is disappointing, I think, for us, but, you know, life happens, and whatever, you know, you have to deal with it. So yeah, you're right. I don't think that there's going to, you know, whether he fires or not, it obviously doesn't finish her off. And in fact, we see her later in the trailer, which may or may be after this scene or not, we don't know. But that, you're right. It doesn't, just wants to let that be a possibility. Then as we move in through this, we get to the real star of episode 8, and that is, we've got a Porg in the Millennium Falcon. Steven, where are you coming down on the Porgs? What are you thinking of them?
Well, given that I have a wife who loves all things cute and cuddly, I of course know all about the Porgs, and when that the Porg was shown on screen, my wife did get a little excited when that came on screen. So I don't know. I mean, they got to have something in every movie, I guess. You know, The Force Awakens with BB-8, Return of the Jedi, you had the Ewoks, you know, and so I guess that they kind of feel like there's got to be something. And obviously there was Jar Jar Binks in the prequels. And then in Rogue One, you also had the cocky droid whose name is escaping me at K2SO. This point. But, yeah, K2SO. So I think that there's always got to be some sort of play there. And let's be serious, it's Disney. Let's be serious. They are marketing cash cow geniuses, and they came. The moment they came up with some sort of character that was new or you know, something that they could market, it's taken like wildfire.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously huge. I did read somewhere, and I'm not sure where, so you can take it for what it's worth, that they based it off the puffins that are actually on Skelling Island where they filmed this. And part of the part of the idea was it meant that if, you know, you had those puffins or whatever in the scene, you know, flying in the background or whatever, you didn't have to worry about taking them out because they were porgs now, you know, especially at a far enough distance. You probably didn't have to do a thing with them. They based them a very similar look and things of that nature. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see how they matter. I mean, Tina, you know, again, like Steven was saying, you know, fandom really could come down hard on things like Ewoks and things that are supposed to be cute. But, you know, they can also embrace those things well. And it kind of feels to me that, you know, in this movie, it might need a little bit of levity here and there, and the Porgs might provide that.
I think you're probably right about that, and it's kind of, I mean, interesting with the fandom, because obviously back during Jedi, there wasn't the internet and all that, so I kind of wonder if people were as down on the Ewoks when the actual movie came out as they became later on when it became cool to hate on the Ewoks, mm-hmm. but I've mostly seen a lot of positive reaction to the Porgs, and I actually am not excited about the Porg at all. I mean, I don't even think it's that cute, so I am officially anti-Porg at this point, but I think that it'll be a popular thing for kids, and it seems like everybody's excited about it right now, but I fully expect that once we get down the road, everybody will be like, oh, I hate this cute little Porg thing, why is it in my movie? But that's just kind of in the way of it. I think everyone always hated Jar Jar, but I have a feeling the Ewoks didn't become the villains of the Star Wars universe until further down the road when everybody decided it was cool to hate on cute furry things.
Yeah, I kind of think that's the case as well. Jar Jar kind of hit its... Jar Jar hit his limit early because, in part, you had all these people that were, you know, 25, 30... years old that used to, you know, that watched Star Wars when they were kids going back, and that part wasn't for them. That part was for, you know, the younger generation. And thankfully they toned him down after the first episode. But I think you're right. I don't remember growing up ever hearing anybody say anything bad about the Ewoks. It was just, when the internet came around and everybody had to be cool. I don't know. I think this pork thing is going to be interesting. Of course, my kids do love it. They're very excited about the Porgs anytime it pops up. They wanted, you know, when they heard Target had a big Porg beanbag chair, they wanted it. They did not get it. But
what is wrong with you?
I know. I'm a terrible person. But it should be interesting to see. You're right. I think it's a fine line. As long as that, I think if they don't get overused, I think if they're, you know, pop in at moments here and there, or if they have some actual explanation. I mean, they are an animal on this island that is supposedly, where the first Jedi temple was. There's some idea that they've got probably have some sort of connection to the Force, whatever it may be. So we'll see. As long as
if the Porgs take out an entire legion of stormtroopers, then I guess we'll see.
Yeah,
in the trailer, it kind of seemed like it was more or less a sidekick for Chewbacca.
Yeah, and that's we'll see how that. I will say a lot of the marketing with that, you know, the Chewbacca figure came with a Porg. There's been I think a kid's book of Chewbacca and the Porg. So Chewbacca definitely has some interactions with the Porgs, and maybe that's just because he's hanging out on the Falcon and has nothing else to do while the Jedi are running around training. I don't know, but we will see. We move on to a space battle. We finally get our first look at Poe, as he then starts talking about, you know, burning the First Order down. He shoots off in his X-Wing. This looks like maybe a different space battle than the one we saw in the main trailer with or the earlier trailer with the bombers and things like that, which may mean we get a couple of these kind of things. Steven, the more space battles, the better, right?
Oh yeah, I love the visuals of this part of it. This is enough to make me consider going to an IMAX and seeing it, because like I think the audiovisual of this is going to be fantastic. And I'm really kind of looking forward to it just in seeing this part. You know, I love the intrigue of the other parts of the trailer, and I love coming up with theories and theorizing based on different things in the trailer. But absolutely love this part of it. And I thought it was going to be, I thought this was a great introduction to what is going to set this film apart from Empire Strikes Back.
I will, Tina, I've had this discussion. I have been to the IMAX both for Force Awakens and for Rogue One for extra screenings, not the first time, but, you know, the second, third, fourth time, whatever. And watching that in IMAX in 3D is fairly incredible. I mean, it really does feel like you're right there. And I don't go see 3D movies. I think, you know, these two are really the only 3D movies I've actually seen, except for when they put The Phantom Menace out a few years ago in 3D, but that was not quite the same. So I definitely recommend going to at least once. I don't recommend going to the IMAX for the first viewing, because you want to see the movie and you want to see the story and you see, but when you know what's coming and you can really appreciate the sights and sounds, if you will, I really think it's a good thing. And that's my two cents, and hopefully you will get a chance to see how if I'm right or wrong. Let's see. Then after this, we get to what was my son's favorite part, I think, of the trailer, when Finn and Phasma go at it. Tina, I don't think if you sat me down before this thing and asked me what was going to be in this trailer, I would have come up with a lot of things before I would have come up with Foe and with Finn and Phasma doing a pseudo lightsaber duel.
Yeah, that was definitely not something I was expecting. It's also just a curiosity to me, because I mean, the weapon he's using, I don't think it's a lightsaber, but it's kind of lightsaber-ish, and he of course had this unexplained ability to use a lightsaber to some extent in the previous movie, so now I'm find myself wondering again, is he supposed to have some sort of force ability too, or is he just inexplicably good with, you know, lightsaber-like weapons, and now he's, you know, in another battle with one? But it's interesting and not something I expected to see. He didn't really show up in the trailer that much, so I'm kind of wondering if that's really going to be the main component of his role in the movie, or if that's just all they chose to show. But it's interesting to me where they're going to go with his character.
It looks to me, as I'm watching the GIF here on this screen, it almost looks to me like he's swinging something very similar to the stun baton that the you know, he fought against
right
in the Force Awakens.
Yeah, I had that feeling too, that it looked a little bit like that. It also, it was not the same color and everything, but it also kind of reminded me a little bit of the dark saber or whatever they called it from Rebels. Clone Wars.
Right. I can't tell what Phasma has. It looks just like a wooden stick to some degree. and if that, it's got to be a little bit more than that, I think.
It's a super stick.
Yeah.
It's a spear.
It's a spear. Okay. That makes sense.
It's something that she carries with her and has always had with her. It's I guess it's related to her upbringing and where she's from. They just released the new book on her. I haven't read it, but that was what I heard.
Yeah, I read that when it came out beginning of last month, and I should have recognized it from there. It is an interesting story, to give a little bit more backstory. And we're supposed to see more of Phasma in this. Of course, we couldn't see much less of Phasma in this for the fact that, you know, she was a key part of the marketing, like going up into Force Awakens, you know, to see her in like three scenes and leave her in a trash compactor. Definitely doing more for her this time. I mean, she's got her own comics book right now. That's kind of a lead up of what happened right outside of, right after Force Awakens. She had the book, as Stephen referred to, the whole backstory of her life, basically, and how she grew up and how she became part of the First Order. Little tidbit. I don't know if I should tell you this. I guess it's a little bit of a spoiler because it didn't happen until the end of the book, but I'll just tell you that her armor is made out of a Naboo ship. You know, from the prequels, we saw these ships that the Naboo had. They were all silver. Some way she comes about being able to get that and create armor out of it. So I thought that was kind of cool. Interesting little tie. And it really doesn't affect the book at all, so I think I'm safe in telling you that. After we had this whole idea about no spoilers at the beginning, I still don't think that counts. But anyway, yeah, then we've got the big battle, another big battle. We've got, you know, we do get to see BB-8. We know BB-8 makes it in here. We have not seen in this trailer, and I don't know if I've seen it anywhere except for Funko Pops and other things like that, but apparently there's a BB-9, BB-9E, what they're calling BB-8, I think, because it's an evil version of BB-8. That the Empire has. Yeah, Steven, have you seen that out there? And is this too much of a good thing, or is it a wait and see type of thing?
I think what it is that's your standard droid.
Mm-hmm.
The BB droids are your standard droid. They're kind of like the R2s and the R1s were in the original trilogy. The BB droids are your standard droids now. And so while BB-8 was your new droid and was kind of, you know, this new kind of character in a sense, from what I know, is the BB droids are now your standard droid.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I'm sure they have their own uses, and I'm sure we'll probably see some new R types as well in this. It is interesting that they've, you know, gone to this ball type of droid. I'm sure that there's going to be some, you know, reference book at some point in time that outlines how or why in the galaxy they've migrated to those. But it should be interesting to see that they are going to make that more standard and not just this one of a kind, if you will. We continue to, I guess we get down to the part with Luke, and it's the line that I think a lot of us are going to hold on to for right now. He says, "This is not going to go the way you think." I don't know if he's talking to us as audience members, that this movie is not going to go the way we think, or what, but I mean, what do you think, Tina? Where is this part of Rey's training? Is this some other part of the movie that we don't know yet?
I think it's some other part of the movie, but obviously they left it very intentionally vague. And the point of it being in the trailer, I think, probably was to speak to the audience to tell them, you think you've got this all figured out, but it's not going to go the way you think it is. I'm not sure. I have no idea who he's talking to. It could be Leia. It could be Rey. It could be, I don't know if he's going to have a confrontation with the Sith, but I have no idea. It's going to be interesting to find out, but I think it was mostly supposed to be aimed at us as the audience, as it's part of the trailer. It could be anything or nothing. It could be just some standard part of the training. Yeah, and, you know, the line ends up not having the significance it seems to have in the trailer, or it could be some big deal. So I don't know. It's one of those things.
We see shots. We got a few more shots here. We see them on what seems to be Crait, kind of earlier on with some foxes here. We see Rey in the water, Finn being escorted by stormtroopers. But I think we really got to get down to, as we start getting closer to our time limit here, we get down to the end. This is the two scenes here at the end, I think, that we probably want to talk the most about. And, Steve, we'll start here. We'll start with Snoke, who apparently, as far as we can tell, and again, you never know with editing, but the way this looks, it does seem to be that he is doing a similar move that Kylo did on Rey in the first, and Poe both in the first movie, just with a little bit more strength knocking her over. You know, what do you think of this? Is this a I don't know. What do you think this is?
I mean, I think it's legitimate. I mean, I think that is going to be, like, that is what it is. However, there's some people who kind of think that maybe it's a Force vision of some sort for Rey. I don't know what to take of that. I think, again, I mean, I've said this a couple other times, but I think that's a kind of looking too much into things. I think that is legitimate what we see in that she's being tortured. And I think it almost in a sense is maybe kind of like a leading into what Luke was saying is this is not what you think it's going to be, or this is not going to go the way you think it is. And he's telling her to kind of a cool your jets type of thing. Again, a Yoda moment. And she goes in thinking that she's going to be able to take down Snoke and Kylo on her own, and she gets caught up in this. And so, I don't know. And then, you know, if it is, you know, that he's looking for something, like, as kind of like what Kylo was doing with her, well, quite intriguing. You know, what is he looking for in her? Like, what could she possibly know that he doesn't know? And so it's kind of interesting in a way.
Yeah, I guess it depends on, you know, is he still looking for Skywalker at this point in time? Is he,
right?
You know, or is Luke with her? Or, I mean, who knows what? Tina, did you have any thoughts on that scene?
Oh, my thoughts are pretty similar to what Steven said. It seems like, you know, they could have edited it in some weird way where this doesn't actually happen. I think it's probably both a Force vision and something that's going to happen in the movie, because they do seem to indicate that she's had some vision of this confrontation with the Sith, and that, you know, maybe it'll actually happen. But I don't know. It could be a lot of things. It could just be, you know, Sith being Sith. They like to torture people. But he could be trying to find Luke. It could be that some other information. I mean, at some point, I mean, there's got to be some story behind her essentially being abandoned on this planet by herself. Does she have something that they've been trying to hide from the Sith, other than the obvious nature of her being powerful with the Force? So maybe he's looking for that. Maybe he's trying to figure out Luke. It could even be something he's trying to figure out about Kylo Ren, since we've seen that she has some sort of interaction with him at some point in the movie. So I don't know what it is, but I think that she probably both does have a Force vision and then also has an actual confrontation with them.
That's believable. And then we get to our final scene, which is Rey looking for somebody to show her a place and Kylo raising out his hand. Now, I assume y'all were like me and thought this was all together, but at least this analysis of that I'm reading here kind of indicates that Rey speaking here comes from earlier in the movie, because she's wearing the stuff that she was wearing on Octu, while the Kylo part's from a different spot. I don't know. It kind of looks like maybe they could be input like that. It would make sense that they would want to, you know, put that misdirection in there. But I mean, Steven, what do you think about this? I mean, that was a very, very interesting way to end that.
When I first saw it, I took it as it was, and I was floored. I was like, holy cow, what do we have here? Like, this is a huge bombshell. Like, what's going on here? And it was something that was very, very apparent that was like, holy cow, we've got a situation here where it looks like she's either going to the dark side or she's manipulating him back over to the light. Like, I was very, very confused. And then as I dug into more reaction on it, paid attention to the trailer a little bit more, I did see something on the outfit and the hair. And then I also was paying attention to the background of the scene, and I could be wrong, but at the very end, when you're looking at the two different scenes, the scene where you see Kylo and his background, and you see Rey and her background, they almost look similar, but they look like two completely different backgrounds. Now, yes, they're both facing each other, so yeah, something different is going to be behind both of them, but they don't look like they would be in the same area, in a sense. And I saw, I probably am one of the people who look too far into this, but I saw that actually there was something where they were pointing out there was a horizon behind Rey, but nothing behind light of the sort behind Kylo and Sith. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think it is what we see, because I think that honestly, I think this trailer is a bunch of misdirection and just kind of a hype fest in a sense, a hype reel to get us excited for this movie. But it's definitely intriguing.
Well, that there's no doubt about that. Tina, what were your thoughts?
I don't think it's going to be complete misdirection, because if they do that, they're going to have to come up with some real compelling reason for it, or people are just going to be super annoyed when they see the movie and that scene doesn't actually happen. But I do think that it definitely doesn't happen exactly the way they're trying to imply that it happens in the trailer. I think they're just trying to make you think it's going to be one way and then have it be another, but not, you know, just completely, like, that scene doesn't happen at all. Or, you know, to some extent, the trailer reminded me a little bit of the style of the teasers at the end of the episodes of Game of Thrones, where they have someone talking, and then they show scenes, but the talking doesn't actually have anything to do with the scenes that are happening. And I felt like that happened in this trailer to some extent, where the dialogue doesn't actually happen in the scenes that they're showing us. So I think they're definitely trying to, you know, make us think something that's not going to be what happens, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, a complete 180 from what they showed in the trailer. I think it's going to be enough different that they hope that we don't see it coming, but not, you know, a situation where they never have any confrontation in the movie at all or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. It would seem very strange for them not to meet at all with that kind of thing. You know, that, you know, it's still possible, but especially given that we see Rey, you know, with Snoke, it would seem very strange for them not to have some sort of interaction, whether he takes her to Snoke or she goes willingly or whatever. We'll have to wait and see. As the end of this article here on IO9 points out, a lot of things that did not make it into this trailer. We did not see resistance general or the politician, the holdout, Laura Dern's character, or Benicio del Toro's character. We didn't see Rose in this one. We don't see Canto Bite, which is supposed to be one of the major, you know, it's the big fancy casino planet that we're supposed to see. So it feels like, even though it feels like we saw a lot of stuff, and we did, Steven, there's just a lot of stuff still for this movie. And in fact, I was reading somewhere that it looks like, at least, I don't think it's official yet, but it may be a 2.5 hour movie, which would put it, I think, the longest Star Wars movie ever.
Yeah, it's going to be the longest one ever. I did see that. There is a lot that we haven't seen there. And that goes against anybody who thinks that, you know, in that 2.5 minute trailer that we saw everything we need to see about the movie. There's a lot of conflict, I think, that's going to be going on throughout this film. I think that we're going to have some kind of, either the entire film or a portion of the film, we're going to see more inner conflict with Kylo Ren, I believe, where he still has this pull to the light. And in the novelization of The Force Awakens, there's actually, he actually does not feel as strong in the dark side as he thought he would after killing his father. And he thought that was going to have a more profound effect on him, and it hasn't. So it's kind of interesting in that sense. So there's a lot we haven't seen, and I'm really, really fascinated to see Benicio del Toro's character. I've been trying to kind of get a handle on him and what he's actually going to be, and which side he's going to play. I'm really, really hoping that they don't just kind of pigeonhole him into a Han Solo role. I mean, maybe I'm just not a big fan of Han Solo, but I kind of want him to be more of an intriguing character than just this, hustler kind of guy. So
it feels to me, just again, we don't. Only thing we know is this trailer, the teaser trailer, you know, maybe the pictures or some of the stories that have come out. But it feels to me that Rian Johnson really kind of got that, and he has not written a simplistic story, let's put it that way. And so I think you're probably going to have a character, like you say there, that's going to have a little bit more dimensions, a little bit. He's not just going to drop in a new Han Solo, if you will. They may have some similarities. They may even, you know, have some maybe more similarities than not, but there will be some differences, and it's something that'll be interesting to explore, either in the next movie, maybe, I don't know how many of these people will make it out, how many people are going to be showing up in the second one or not. We don't know. Tina, I did see something from Rian Johnson that says that they sat down with Lucasfilm even over a year ago, and the marketing team, and they have a list of things that are not going to be, you know, we're not going to show up any trailers. They're not going to be released at anything. They're going to be completely left to the movie. So I guess in that regard, it kind of goes back to what we were saying. There's still a lot of things to watch, isn't there?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of other ground for them to cover. And I feel like they were trying to focus a lot on, you know, just the things they thought would get people excited to see the movie and the action scenes. But I think there's going to be a lot of in between where they're going to get more into the struggles of the characters, you know, Luke and Kylo Ren and Rey and possibly Leia and some of the other ones. There was one scene, and I can't remember whether it was in the official trailer or this so-called extended trailer, but the having to do with where it seemed like Luke was questioning whether the Jedi Order should continue to exist, which I thought was actually kind of a theme that came up somewhat in Clone Wars, where they kind of didn't present the Jedi Order in the 100% positive light that it mostly was presented in the original trilogy. So I kind of wonder if they're going to explore that to some extent, where it's not just Jedi good, Sith bad, but maybe coming to think that they've just been approaching this whole thing wrong the whole time, which that would be kind of a big story to try to cover. But I kind of wonder if that's going to be part of this additional coverage in this long movie that they're getting ready to release.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I mean, there, you know, you could see even, you know, as we thought, as I kind of thought maybe when we first saw that last scene, that there's going to be some idea of Rey pulling him, Kylo, to the light while he pulls her to the dark, and they wind up somewhere in the middle.
They do talk about balance again, and once again, I can't remember which trailer that came up in, but there is that idea that of balance. So maybe they're trying to just, you know, hint at that balance isn't just we have the really good guy and the really bad guy, but that they both have to come more towards the middle.
It may be. That'd be interesting, and that's going to lead me to our last question, because that's, and the question is, you know, what do you want to see in this movie? That maybe we're going to, maybe you know we're going to see because of the trailers, maybe you don't. But for me, I feel like I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, Jedi philosophy, if you will. Some idea of some of this discussion about what the Force is and how it works. And, you know, I know we've had some of it, but you think back to Yoda on Dagobah and explaining stuff to Luke. You know, some ideas of what Luke has learned over the last 30 years about the Force that we don't know. I think that's the kind of thing. Again, it doesn't need to be a whole huge lecture on Jedi history or anything of that nature, but I think there's some points there that could be really, really interesting. Tina, what about you? Is there something you want to see in this movie?
I think the main thing for me, and it doesn't necessarily have to happen in this movie, but before they're done with it, is, you know, Rey's backstory, who her parents are, why she was abandoned on that planet, you know, why she seems to have this unusual connection with the Force, even compared to Anakin and some of the other more powerful Jedi that we've known about. So that's my primary thing. I want to know more about Rey, because, of course, she's my favorite character in the movie anyway. But and the stuff that you mentioned, too, is also interesting, although I also think it would be interesting if they kind of set it up to where perhaps once this trilogy is done, that could be the direction they go with the next batch of movies, delving more into the whole Jedi history and philosophy thing as they continue on.
Steven, what about you?
I want to have, I guess, more answers on things. Like, I want to know. The whole thing with what Luke said, it's time for the Jedi to end, that fascinates me, and I want to have more of a context on that. I really am intrigued on kind of the history aspect, like you guys talked, the Jedi principles and whatnot. There's something that I want to say it's a book that Luke recovered from the temple. That I'm intrigued to see what that entails, and what that is. So that intrigues me. I want to know more about that. And I also want to kind of know what this whole balance thing that they talk about, and how they're going about trying to balance the Force. And I guess really kind of, more character development in a sense of all these different characters that are going to be in that, and that I do like that there's not your kind of, yeah, Rey is kind of your central character, but in a way there's so many different character arcs going on that I want this to be a 5-hour long movie because I want to know everything.
Yeah, I feel that's kind of the same way. It's like how, you know, and I know they're going to address some things in other media, whether it's books, whether it's comics, whether it's TV shows, whatever. But, you know, you want as much of it as you can on the big screen and the stuff that everybody's going to see, I think, to some degree. So, all right. Well, I think we've done a fairly good job on this. We'll probably go now and watch the trailer a couple more times, just because that's what we do. It's kind of a nightly ritual, between now and then. We will also like to mention that Rebels starts Monday day, with the weird broadcast schedule that Disney is doing. They're broadcasting Rebels like 5 times a day, starting at like 5 o'clock in the morning, various times during the day. The first 2 episodes of Rebels will be on Monday, and so that should be good to watch, and maybe next time around we'll discuss that and whatever else is going on in the Star Wars world. I don't know if we'll do this again in November. We seem to be doing it once a month, and it seems to be so far working out okay. So we will think about it. If you like it, let us know. You know where to find us. Tina, why don't we go around and just tell them, you know, where you're at, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. Anything you want to know before we go?
All right. Well, my Twitter handle is @AirdrickStorm, which Daniel cannot spell.
Mm-mm.
And
not at all.
I am still hanging out there being disappointed by baseball, so come find me.
All right. Steven?
You can obviously find me in my own name. At SMcNeil_87 on Twitter, but you can also find me at STL Hat Trick, where I run a blog that is based on baseball, hockey, and what I kind of coined term of nerdtainment, which delves in the comic realm and then the entertainment realm of Star Wars and other stuff like that. So I'm currently working on my reaction on the trailer, and we'll also be trying to get up a piece that's a little spoiler-ishy on Snoke, hopefully within the next few days. That's what's going on with me.
Cool deal. All right, you know I'm at C70. You can email me at cardinal70@gmail.com about this show. Let us know if there's other things you want us to talk about in the Star Wars universe. If there are points that we should have made that you'd like us to address next time around, things of that nature, you can find us there always. You can comment at the site, which is bdib.podbean.com. You'll find the episodes there, and you can click on the comments as well. So, for Steven and Tina, I'm Daniel, and we'll talk at you next time.
This is not going to go the way you think.